Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I want to welcome all of you to Crown Talking Drums broadcast radio station. We are our apostle. Wooly J. Armstrong is the founder and CEO. And I am your host tonight, Renee. With that, I want to once again welcome you. And tonight, I am going to limit my conversation because I want to reflect on some things. So I'm going to open up right now with prayer, and then I'm going to go into a scripture. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Yahweh, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the mighty works that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, because you woke us up this morning, God, and we woke up in our right minds and the activities, having the activities of our limbs, oh God. Father, Lord, some didn't wake up today. Someone is as fortunate as we are, God, to be here. And so, God, we do not take it lightly. We do not take it for granted, oh God. But, Lord, we know that it is your will that none should perish, but all to come to the fullness and understanding of you, oh God. And so, Father, right now, Lord, I ask that you take me out of self, O God. Use me to your glory, O God, that I may say something to somebody somewhere, O God, that your people may hear, O God, that those may hear that do not even, Lord, serve you, O God, that they may turn from their ways, O God, and do your will, oh God, and see, Lord, or feel the faith that goes out through this broadcast, oh God. Not just this broadcast, but there are many, oh God, that contribute to this broadcast, oh God. And Father, that they may listen and say, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have peace? For, Lord, we all are in need of peace. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and amen, and amen. Tonight, first, I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to be reading into your hearing from the book of Galatians. Galatians 1:10-17. And I'm going to be in various parts of translations of the Bible, so I'm going to start off in the New King James Version, and then I may wander off into the New Living Translation in some instances as I refer to a couple of scriptures. And it reads Galatians 1:16-17. for him, for by him. By him, meaning by God, by Yahweh, by Jesus, by the Messiah, our Savior. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, not some things, but all things were created through him and for him. When I read that scripture, as I am going to tell you in a moment what I've been reflecting on pretty much throughout the day. But as I read that scripture, it lets me know that God, Yahweh, the almighty, powerful God, the omnipotent, the all-knowing, the all-omnipotent, the omnipresent God, the holy God, the righteous God, the I am who I am. He created everything in the universe, everything. And he wants nothing more than he loves his creation, all of his creation. He wants complete authority. He requires complete authority of us. But he does give us free will. When I reflect on Genesis, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, chapter 2, I refer to the pre-fall of man, of Adam. When God created Adam, created the world, and he created Adam and Eve and all therein, and he gave them free reign to have power and dominion over all of the land and the beast and the creatures. When he did that, he had he walked with Adam. The Bible says God walked in the Garden of Eden, and he communed with man. He had a close relationship with man. But we learned later on in Genesis chapter 3 that man became deceitful. Man became tempted. Eve actually deceived by the serpent, and then man no longer had that right. Man no longer had that closeness. Man no longer had the will and desire to walk in complete authority with God as their authoritative figure. And man lost the right to do that, to have a relationship, a close bond with God. And so that man so good. He had the knowledge of good and evil. He chose evil. And so as a result, we suffer sin today as a result of the consequences of the first man, Adam's decision to be to partake of the apple and to be a disobedient. And so as a result, sin enters the world. And so when I think about that, I think about if God loved, but let me back up. God gave us another chance to get it right, to have that relationship with him again. Now, God loves us. God still loves us. And we have the ability to think, turn to God. But some of us are not willing. Because we are being led by, some of us are led by the world. The world is being led by the power, the ruler of the prince of darkness, some refer to him as the prince of the power of air, the ruler of this world, Satan. You all know who I'm talking about, Satan. Satan desires to sift us like wheat. He desires to destroy man, destroy anything that is incapable of serving God. And so, God, although he loves us, he chastises us. He is our judge and our juror. He is judge over the righteous and he is judge over the unrighteous. So we ask ourselves, in light of today, this is the year, or the day that we experienced quite a big disaster, a disaster that just shattered the world. No one expected it. I know I didn't. As I reflect back, I was in New York. I was living in New York at the time. And when I reflect back, I was in a hospital room, having coming through surgery. And as I opened my eyes that morning, they had put me in a room, recovery. And as I opened my eyes, there was the television, and I could see the plane as it struck. You know, a replay of it striking the Twin Towers, one of the Twin Towers. And I said, this must be something. That plane is flying mighty low. What's going on here? And then I saw the devastation and the destruction and the disaster. And everyone running and panicking for their lives. And as I came out of the hospital that week and returned back to my job, where we ourselves counseled people who have been in, gone through trauma, the Veterans Administration, in other words. And because this was such a devastating trauma that no one was prepared for, it was such a disaster that no one really was prepared for, that meant that every EMS or every aspect of someone who had knowledge of doing trauma came out to aid. And so our office, although we saw veterans, we had to see people who were civilians, firefighters, EMS workers, police officers. And as they came in the office, wasn't really handling the really trauma victims, but I was in through the intake, and some of them would come in the office and they would pour their hearts out and explain what they witnessed during Ground Zero, at Ground Zero. And I'm not going to get into it because it was so much, it was so devastating to me, until I would have to go in the office and shut myself up behind the door, and I would cry and then wipe my eyes and come back out and try to gain composure so that I can help the very ones who were going through or who had gone through that disaster. So although I wasn't there, I was very much a part of the people's lives who lost, some of them who lost loved ones, some of them who were brave and went in to retrieve or rescue anyone that they could find alive and bring them to safety. So that leaves me with that when we hear about things like that, we call it disasters. We know that it was not a natural disaster. It was an unnatural disaster. It was a disaster that was caused as a result of, I'm going to call it just the way it is, Satan entering the heart of people who were being led, who thought they were being led by a little G God, but when in actuality they were being led by Satan. And so my question is tonight, why does God allow evil? And I want you to think about that for a moment, because I had the hardest time trying to figure this out for myself. If God has the power to prevent evil and desires of wickedness, and he hates and despises evil, then why does he allow it? He allows it. Well, the scripture took me to Romans 8:19. The Spirit took me to Romans 8:19-21. And it tells us the creation waits in the threat, the consequences sin has had on creation. It tells us the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it on them, in other words, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. God does not desire evil intentions upon us. It is not his desire. He loves us. He created us. He made us. He knows all about us. He desires. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that he has a future. He desires a future of good for us, of hope. How can someone, God, our Creator, if he desires a future of hope for us, then it would be contradiction to say that he wills us to have evil fall upon us. But this world is decaying every day. Every day that we get up and we turn on the media, the news media, we find and we witness that destruction is going on. Things are not getting any better. Things are getting worse. But they will get better. They will get better. It's just not our will that God wants us to do. It is his will, his way. And when we listen right now to the media, although we are not going to fight a disaster as we went through in September 11th, but if anything has proven, we have just gone through a disaster. We call it a pandemic. COVID-19, so many people lost their lives, so many innocent people lost their lives. And then there are those that I refer to. If you have come through COVID or you have come through a disaster, natural or unnatural, you are a remnant. You are here to tell someone what you have experienced and how God has brought you through. God is calling for us to turn around. The scriptures in 2 Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name would humble, seek my face, humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, and I shall heal the land. Does that mean that because we are wicked, everybody is wicked, or everybody commits sin, that we are being penalized? No. That scripture actually sits and serves a purpose because it has so much truth and so much power in it. But it is a reflection on that time and that era when the nation of Israel was so wicked and so disobedient. And that although Solomon built this temple for God to worship with the people, God was telling them that I will do this as long as you keep your word, keep my word, do good, turn from evil, serve me. I love you. I have outstretched my hand to you time and time again. Turn from your wicked ways. And in a similar situation, God is talking to us today. We have to turn to God. He's calling us. We have so many people who just refuse. It's not that everybody is doing wicked and evil things. It's just that everybody is so preoccupied with the material things of this world that they're not even giving God the chance. They're not even turning to God. They are turning to their own gods, financial business, money rules the world, their fashion, their clothing, everything but God. We have to turn back to God. And so I am appealing. This is not a shouting message. This is a message that I believe that will appeal. I'm having faith that it will appeal to the heart of man, to the hearts of our children, to the hearts of those who may listen and who are listening and who had no intentions of even serving God, but may have had a curiosity that it had aroused in them to say, well, let me tune in to this broadcast. And Lord, I'm asking that you pull them in. I know in the scripture there is a scripture that references that God will put a hook in you and reel you in, and that's what he does to us sometimes, even to the backslider. You know, he says he's married to the backslider. Some of us get happy and involved with God. We have a relationship with God, but when things get a little rocky or things start to go in their way, in a way where they feel that they are happy and they become complacent and they become comfortable with the system of the world, they turn away from God. You know the story. I've done it. I was on fire when I was younger for the Lord. And then at times, there were times that I got so involved in the system of the world that I just kind of put God in the back burner. But then things began to happen in my life. I began to get sickly. I began to experience hard things, hard situations in the world. Now, do I feel that God inflicted those things on me because I was sinful? No. God does not, it is not God's desire to harm any of us. He loves us so much. He loves us. But because the body is susceptible to decay, we are going to all decay one day in the body. The physical body will no longer be the way it was. And we, as God's children, we have been given, and when I say God's children, we are all God's children. There's not just some that are God's children. All of us are God's children. But we have been given grace to get it right, grace to turn around, grace to return to the true and only one God. But one day that grace is going to run out. One day that grace is going to run out. And so we have natural disasters. We have unnatural disasters. Today, in our day and time, we experience fires, wild fires. That are going on. That is something that someone caused to happen. But then on the other hand, we experience hurricanes. We experience earthquakes all over the world. Morocco just recently lost so many thousands of people. Were all those people wicked? All those people sinful? No. But God wills what he wills. We don't know why. We don't have the mind of God. Only God knows. But it behooves us while we have a chance right now to get it right, because one day God, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back, which we are his church, all of us. It's only going to be one church, one faith, one baptism. He's coming back for those who are dead in Christ. They shall rise. They will be the first to rise. Our loved ones who have gone on to glory, and that we ask in our hearts, why did you take them, God? Or why were so many people killed? And why were the people killed in that World Trade Center disaster? What was the sense of it? We don't know. But we do know that it was not God's desire in the beginning for us to be sinful, to have us fall into a sinful state. No, it wasn't. God wanted to commune with his creation. God created everything perfect and good for man to walk in perfect harmony with him. But it was man's choice. And just like today, it is our choice. God says, choose me this day whom you shall serve. Will it be a lesser God? A God who cannot do anything, who is not active, who is not alive? Or will you serve Yahweh, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Magnificent God? Choose this day who you will serve. And so I'm going to open the phone lines up briefly, if they haven't already been opened, and ask, does anyone have any questions, any concerns, any reflections, given that this is September 11th, a day that literally the world stood in mourning, that literally the world, everyone was affected by what happened on that day. So, if you have something to say, now is the time. Amen? Anyone?
Well, I was waiting for you to open the mic, but I will go on and do it this time. Okay, you?
I just good. Opened the...
Yes.
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 Good afternoon, Renee.
Good afternoon.
This is Sharon Phillips.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
How?
Good afternoon.
God bless
you. God bless you, and good evening to Apostle Armstrong.
Good evening.
I want to first thank you for acknowledging the 9/11 victims, which has now been 22 years ago, believe it or not.
Can you believe it?
We truly remember those that were lost, and we continue to remember their families whose lives have been changed and never will be the same.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
looking at Isaiah 59, verses 7 to 8, and it says, their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. And there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. And I sincerely want to thank God that I was born and raised in these United States of America, and that I have had an opportunity for a Christ-centered lifestyle through parents, through mentors, and through others. But there are, unfortunately, people that live in other nations Mm-hmm. And they served the little gods.
Mm-hmm.
And many times they are taught that to bring destruction or to even give their own lives in the process of bringing destruction to others is the way they honor God.
Yeah.
And so I too remember that particular day. I remember the first plane that hit and sincerely believed it to be an accident.
Yes,
and then when the
too.
Second plane hit, I was truly disturbed and alarmed because I said, this is no accident.
No.
And I know there was a third plane headed for another destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the men put a plan together and they gave their own lives to avoid that plane from crashing.
Yeah.
So I am truly thankful that I have been fortunate to live in a place where Christ is centered, and they are truly people even here today that are doing and participating in activities politically, non-politically, that God is not pleased with.
Mm-mm.
And they
consider
it an honor and are proud to do what they do.
Yeah.
It all begins and it starts with the heart of the individual.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Thank you so much. You know, the scripture tells us also in Deuteronomy, I think 11 and 17, that take heed to yourself. Lest your heart be deceived. When I think about that, I think about how the word says the heart is wicked, and it's so easy for us to fall prey to deception.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you spoke about people who serve gods, and they really think or they're convinced in their own way that their God is the one and true living God, and that what they do, the evil that they impose upon those, upon the world, that they are actually doing it in the name of their God. You know, sometimes I have to ask myself, I have to think about it and kind of smirk to myself. Some of those people are more dedicated and devoted to their God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Devoted to their God than we who know and have experienced the true living God, Jehovah God, the Yahweh,
Amen.
The one who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine, the one that pulls us up out of the pit, out of sickness, out of devastation. And even in the midst of devastation, we still look back and we say, how we got over, had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be?
I'm sorry.
I just get caught up sometimes with those emotions. And when you said that, it kind of pierced my heart. We talk about Jehovah's Witnesses that they don't serve the they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Their religion is a cult, and yet they get out, and
they are
the ones. Hallelujah. They get out.
Yes.
And they go to sleep.
Yes.
They beat down the doors.
Yes, they do.
They walk in the winter, the snow, and they're passing out tracts in their pamphlets. And here we are so blessed. We know, some of us know the word of God. God gets in our spirit sometimes. He dwells in us and he's willing to work with us. But we sometimes are just so obedient. We put him behind. We put him in the back burner.
Yes.
We got to stop. It's something. Oh, Lord. I'm going to shut up for a moment. Anybody else have anything that they desire to say? Anyone.
Well, when you were talking about where did evil come from,
mine
went to Genesis, went to the garden.
And
what do we call sin? Sin is disobedience. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. God told them, all the trees in this garden, you may partake of, but don't touch that one over there. So what happened?
Right.
They rather listen to Satan, the devil, than to hold on to what God had told them, the word, gave them the word.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get there in terms of where did evil come from. Evil came from the fallen angel, that Satan, the devil, who was kicked out of heaven because he started an insurrection up there. He came to the earth. He was a little upset at God. He got the person, that God really loved, and that God put everything in the earth that us humans would ever need. And he went, and the main one was Adam. He told Adam. And what did Adam do? Adam stood there. I guess Adam thought he was cool. Gone. Eve did it. he didn't tell Eve don't do it. He didn't remind Eve what God said.
Come on.
And so what did he tell God? God, it was that woman you gave me. That's right. Disobedient. Adam was disobedient. He disobeyed God. And that's whenever the evil, for me, that's when the evil came into the earth.
And though the evil came into the earth, God still, out of love for us, out of compassion and care for us, he still, in Genesis 3:15, I believe it is, he still set the wheels in motion. I call it a contingency plan. You know, we thought that contingency plan was just introduced into the world. But I want to tell you that way back in Genesis 3:15,
God started a contingency plan. He went and he set the wheels in motion. That's when he decided, I'm going to set these people straight. They just foolish. They just don't know what they're doing. So I'm going to set a plan into the world. I'm going to come down, take on flesh. I'm going to leave my humble abode, and I'm coming down, and I'm going to walk and put off my Shekinah glory. Not that I'm giving it all up, but I'm going to put it off, and I'm going to come down and dwell with this sinful world, this fleshly world. And I'm just going to walk and show them the right way. So he sent his son, Jesus, in the flesh, Jesus, to us to get it right.
Yeah.
Show us how to get it right. And then he went to the cross, and he died. He suffered. He bled, and he died for mankind. And we still today, we still can't get it right. Can't get it right. But
Lord Jesus,
that doesn't mean that it is God's intention or his will that any perish, that any die. He does not desire that. He is a loving God. And so right now, if there's anybody else, say, you know, you can speak up. And if not, I am going to ask Apostle Armstrong to close us out with prayer. With prayer, please. Close us out with prayer. We need prayer. This nation. Apostle Armstrong?
Yeah, I'm here. I was chewing. I was trying to get my snack caught
it's
down.
All right. Just it's all right. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. You illness. It's all right. Hallelujah. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
I just
got to
give
him
the praise and the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Alrighty. You know, the message tonight, went across the earth, not just here in America, Morocco, they had listeners there as well, where the earthquake took place. We have listeners in Ukraine and in Russia and in West Africa, where they're having political upheavals. So let us be mindful of them, as the listeners that are beyond the boundaries of the continental United States.
And, amen.
And the message that was given tonight, it wasn't just limited to here. It was to the lives of people everywhere. Yes. Almighty everlasting creator, we come to you saying thank you. We thank you for the word, for your word.
Thank you.
And how we come to know you. Your word is true. Of course, you are true. Your word. It gives us our faith. You say faith comes from what? Hearing your word. And your word what brought us to this place. Your word is why you've chosen us. Not only called us, but you chose us. You called us out from among the masses. And you placed us here to reach your people. To give them the word, truth. And we say thank you. We are the ones that has a purpose, and we carrying out your purpose. Yeah. Your purpose is to pray for everyone.
Your purpose
is that no one shall be lost. Your purpose is that we who are your intercessors, we do that. Why? That so that we could have a quiet, peaceful, godly existence. And I say thank you. And as we continue to reflect and meditate on your word, I just thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth. And otherwise, we will be like a lot of other people. We'd be atheists. We'd be agnostic. But your word is what has guided us. Your word is what brought us. And we thank you if we look at our culture. Our culture recognizes you as the creator. It recognizes you as the one that's holding us accountable for our actions. And we say thank you. We thank you because you prepared the earth for us even before our existence. And we thank you.
Yeah.
And those who are gathered here, we are your remnant. You are your remnant. You are speaking through us and touching the lives of many.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
We realize that we are in a place where disobedience is running rapid now.
Yes.
We who are standing on your word, we can count it all joy as we look around us and see the chaos and confusion. See the politicians, see the lies that are being spoken and expecting us to believe. But I thank you that you place your word in our heart. And that word is what's keeping us, it's comforting us. That word is what's leading us. Thank you again for the way that you are waging the battle on our behalf, on the behalf of those who are your chosen ones, those who have accepted your teaching from your beloved son, the Messiah.
Yes.
He made it clear that he gave us the word that you gave him. And he gave it to the disciples and with all power, with all authority. And that has been passed down to us. And we speak with that power, with that authority. We expect that power and authority to manifest itself in the earth. And we thank you.
Just as our ancestors, you covenant with them.
You made a covenant that you would provide for their offspring. And now we are part of those offspring that you come that our ancestors. And we say, here we are.
What do you want us to do?
We give you the thanks and give you the praise.
And if we look
at the 9/11 event that took place, and people began to ask the question, why? One time I was lamenting and asking, why the people going to say that I destroyed, I split the church? You know what you told me? You said, why not you?
Why not you? Why not you?
I had no response when you asked me. And I went on and did things the way that you want them done. Jesus. And I thank you.
That's right.
And look at the world today. And I listen to people. People are hurting. People are confused. Yes. People have been led with false teaching, false doctrine.
I just ask you, touch their hearts.
Touch their hearts.
Yes.
and let them know you are there providing comfort, joy, and protection.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Your beloved Son, Messiah. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Shalom. And have a blessed evening. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.